Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snow, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We have our radio aficionado taking on a magic carpet ride, world famous Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Good morning. Hello. All right. Yeah. So we're back at it this week. We had a little last week action. You were out there in California for the National Boxing Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah, pretty busy week for you.
Yeah, it was bigger, busier than a one-legged dog in a butt kicking contest. And you know, let me tell you, man, when your luggage gets broken too and everything, our trip going out wasn't too good, but we overcame it, and we thank the people who were patient with us through those times. You know, Bill and Linda Dempsey, they're a jewel, you know, with their understanding. Yeah, but other than that, it was a terrific event. There was a lot of world champions coming there. Julio Cesar Chavez, he showed up. Carl King, he was there. He got inducted. Abel Sanchez, he got inducted. Amy Hayes, she was there. You know, and we did the Jack Johnson. Linda Haywood, Jack Johnson's great niece, she was there. Our friends and producer with the movie, Will Williams, he was there. Photographer of ours, Rolls Royce, Roberts, we call her the People's Choice. She was there. They were filming and taking so many pictures. It's unbelievable.
Well, Jack Johnson was inducted then, too. That was his point as well, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Johnson was inducted. You know, we did it, and that was a blessing to be able to do that. You know, it was indeed an honor to do that. The WBC was there with Jill Diamond, who's president of the WBC Cares program, and also Pepe Suleiman, he was there. And boy, oh boy, with Reyes Gloves, the founder, going in, and the family, and they were there. I mean, it was just a dynamite setup. The food was great, man. The inside of the dining hall looked great. You know, Bob, Reyes Gloves, they did, everybody who was inducted, they did these banners, and they were all lined up on the side of the wall. And then they had a silent auction in the back that was stacked up. It was second to none. You know, Mike Weaver and his brothers, who are triplets, Bob.
Oh, they all look the same.
Yeah, they were all look the same. You know, people
I haven't had one too many times. I've seen three of you.
Yeah. You know, people I haven't seen in a while. It was great seeing them. And it was just... Bill and Linda Dempsey, they were really, really busy. So, and also in the New York Boxing Hall of Fame, Carl King was going in L.A. And Don King, the same day, was going in the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. So for them, it was a busy weekend.
I hear you, yeah.
yeah. But, you know, those things are great. Our next thing is down there in Atlantic City with President Ray McLean, as the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame bring in their class of 2019 with Roberto Duran, Tim Witherspoon, Bernard Hopkins, Virgil Hill, Bobby Goodman. I mean, the list is long, fine, but distinguished. What an excellent class for the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame, and it's really, really going to be spectacular.
Yeah, we're going to be down at June 20th, the weekend of June 20th, first week in the summer. And, yeah, looking forward to that. Jimmy Benz is also going in, too. We've had him on the show as well, too, before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of these guys, people we're having on the shows that are being inducted. And also, our boxing historian, Henry Hascop, is
That's
going
right.
in.
Hey, you're the best for last.
Our boxing historian, Henry Hascop, is going in. And our hat's off to you. But there's some great surprises. People are going to be surprised. We got nominated for some awards, and they're going to be presented to us down in Atlantic City at the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame, and it's going to shock a lot of people. I just don't want to let nothing out the bag yet, but they notified me what was going on, the people who are giving awards, and I'm very thankful. You know, I want to say some condolences to the Johnson family. Dwight Johnson, who was at King's training camp, he was Mr. Everything back in the late 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Him and his wife, Brenda and Dwight, they were real close to me and the King family, and the good Lord called him home the other day, and his funeral is today as we speak on the show here. So I just want to wish their family and everybody condolences, and may God comfort them through these troubled times, and that they have the understanding of the Lord and what the Lord does and how the Lord works, you know. But let's move a little forward, Bob. We got a big fight tonight. We got a lot of stuff going around in the world. Well, what do we got going?
Yeah, well, so we'll talk about the fights. First, I just want to give a quick update, because you'll notice when I get into it here, we got a lot of light heavyweights fighting tonight. But there was a release this week, an update on Adonis Stevenson condition. And according to his promoter, Yvonne Michel, he's doing really well. He's getting up, he's walking, talking, going home on the weekends, and this, his recovery is coming along very well, and they're talking about him possibly making a public appearance real soon. So, again, good news on Adonis Stevenson recovering from a serious head injury that he suffered a couple months back. But I just want to, just again, wish him a bit of speedy recovery and continue on the right path to regaining his full health. So that's good news. But, yeah, we have the big fight tonight. Taking place T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada, in the USA. And that's going to see Saul Canelo Alvarez, 51-1-2, 35 knockouts. He's taking on Daniel Miracle Man Jacobs, 35-2, 29 knockouts. And that's for the WBC, WBA Super, and IBF World Middleweight titles. Also, a lot of title fights throughout the card. John Ryder, 27-4, and Bilal Akawi, 20-0-1, vie for the interim WBA World Super Middleweight crown. Lamont Roach and Jonathan Oquendo fighting for the WBO International and WBO NABO Super Featherweight belts. And Saddam Ali, 27-2, and Anthony Young, 20-2, both seek the WBC US NBC Silver Welterweight title. Two of these step in against each other when Francisco Esparza, 9-0-1, and Adam Avagyan, 8-0-1, meet for the WBC International Silver Featherweight belt. Super lightweights Virgil Ortiz Jr., 12-0, and Mauricio Herrera, 24-8, also clash on this DAZN streaming event. And we're talking about this when I'm done, too, but this is a big night for DAZN, DAZN stream. This is their big gun here, Alvarez, going at it tonight. So we don't get our numbers about it, but we'll try to figure out how well this fight does after the fact. But ESPN, they'll be in Stockton, California, where we'll see Filipino southpaw Jerwin Ancaez, the pretty boy, 30 wins, 1 loss, 2 draws, 20 KOs. He'll defend his IBF World Super Flyweight title against the challenger Ryuichi Fune of Japan. He's 31-7, 22 knockouts. And while we're speaking of super flyweights, too, we didn't get a chance last week, but I wanted to mention congratulations to Juan Francisco Estrada. He had a big unanimous decision victory over Sisaka. So a ring of his eye. Our man from Thailand, and now Estrada is the new WBC World Super Flyweight Champion. And they have a record of 1-1 against each other. I'm sure there's a third match to be had in the future somewhere. We just wanted to give that up too. And also, we have big night there on ESPN with also Arturo Viterbiev. He's 13-0, all 13 wins by knockout. He defends his IBF World Light Heavyweight crown against Radovoj Kralovic. He's 24-1 with 17 KOs. San Antonio, Texas will feature the fight for the vacant RBO World Female Super Featherweight crown when Cristina Fuentes faces off with Ayana Vasquez. 22-1 Super Middleweight Shayna Adreco headlines in Nashville, Tennessee. And light heavyweight Malcolm Jones, 13-1, tops the card in Indianapolis, Indiana. Norcross, Georgia showcases the Carlos Jackson versus Jakob Karadim Super Bantamweight bout. At the Meadowlands Racetrack and Casino in Washington, PA, the welterweight showdown of Justin Steve and Lenwood Dozier cops tonight. The vacant Canada Professional Boxing Council International Super Featherweight belt will go to the winner of the Dominic Babineau, 10-1, versus Emmanuel Armendariz, 12-4-2 main event happening in Miramichi, New Brunswick, Canada. Keenan Carvajal, 17-2-1, crosses the ropes with Antonio Tostado Garcia, 23-6 in the featherweight finale in Agua Prieta, Sonora, Mexico. Buenos Aires, Argentina will televise on Tyke Sports TV the battle for the open WBC Latino super featherweight title from Pablo Manuel Ojeda, 16-4-1, and Miguel Cesario Antin, 17-2, go at it. In Florencio Valeria, the super bantamweights Eduardo Alan Paz and Cristian Nahuo Bendez meeting up. Over in Accra, Ghana, the super featherweight feature has Michael Papo, 23-5, fighting Felix Azam, 12-2-1, as well as Michael Dodu, 16-2, versus Razak Mete, 21-5, for the Zavin Fakanian super featherweight crown. Flying over now to Europe to Charleroi, Belgium, where Mikolai Vichialu, 9-0-1, and Norbert Faksa, 11-1, clash for the WBA Continental Middleweight crown. And Hervé Heldon, 30 wins, 3 losses, and Jacques Mulawari, 6-0-1, vie for the open Belgium heavyweight belt. In Brussels, Joel Tamwe Dzeko, 15-2-1, takes out Ricardo Snyder, 17-0, for the IBO Intercontinental Cruiserweight title. And Mohamed El Malkouchi, 21-2, steps in against Jean-Pierre Habamana, 9-16-3, for the open Benelux super lightweight belt. Bobarin Gilles Varadin headlines the Giovanni Techo versus Lazio Zombrick super middleweight bout, and plenty of action throughout France. 13 places all throughout the French countryside today. We'll give that carpet a workout in France. We're going to start in Orne. The super bantamweight battle between Thomas Barbier and Sofiane Belhassane tops the night. And in Marne, welterweight Samu Sa and Rati Magrali clash at the top of the card. Super welterweights Nurali Erdogan and Kevin Bertigal do battle in Cerny. And the Martian host of Mike Estevez versus Jean-Noel Alvarez super featherweight contest. Lightweight Sabri Sadiri and Becca Lazarshvili tangle in Amiens. And Hushan Habib steps in with Merlap Tekatvik in the lightweight main event in Florence. Monse Barou will be where welterweights Daoud Assal and Bakar Zalimitsa meet up. And then Powell, 15-2 lightweight Merle Vegas highlights the show. And Ungers will showcase the Zakaria Arlik versus Matthew Raymond light heavyweight bout. The female lightweight fight between Eva DeBakker and Marlene De Kick is the main event in Alouane, Pas de Calais, and in Hilleville, St. Clair features the Thomas Lacroix versus Frank Zimmer middleweight showdown. Lille features the female heavyweight bout between Jean-Darc Consti and Elaine Timoshevili, and also female flyweight Sandra Morset and Marlene Tolet battle in Perros, Guerrero. Zaragoza, Spain features unbeaten super welterweight Ezequiel Gloria, 10-0. Stepping in with 8-9 Francisco Duran. Six venues throughout Italy, starting in Varese and Lombardia, with Ivano Gallo, 9-2 and 13-0, Terry LaQuavia, vie for the vacant EBU European Union super bantamweight belt. Light heavyweights in action, too. First in Ascoli Piceno is David Bica battling Errol Seghetti, and in Pescara, David De Levis squares off with Steven Leonetti Dredhaas. Two places in Sicily going at it. Also, first in Catania, we have middleweight Giancarlo Pappalardo and Claudio Bonaparte go at it. And in Villabate, it's the welterweight clash of Antonio Vigliateri versus Fabio Salvaggio. And at Milan, we have 13-2 super welterweight Juho Vernozzi clashing with Evgeny Borisov on to Frankfurt, Germany, too, where we have 13-0 with 7 knockouts, Leon Bone. and the 18-3 10 knockout Leon Hart, fighting for the open IBF International Light Heavyweight Belt. Tara Boorman, 10-0, meets Anne Sophie DaCosta, 28-4, for both the GBU female and women's IBF World Light Flyweight crowns. And Bayern is unbeaten James Sherezi, 16-0, facing Levani Sicarari, 10-8-2, in a lightweight headliner. And twins Roberto and Marildo Bacaz make their separate debuts in Wuppertal. Rounding out our trip to Europe goes the UK, where Mark Leach and Rick Fido both seek the vacant 3DFC English bantamweight crown in the headliner in Manchester. Super Flyweight's Brandon Dayor tops the card in Liverpool. And in Birmingham, 7-0 Sean Daly takes on the 6-2 Jake Best in the welterweight feature. York Hall in London has their usual big Saturday night card, topped by the Salahi Ahmad versus Des Newton 10-round super lightweight showdown. In Aberdeen, Scotland, two vacant BUI Celtic belts up for grabs. First, two 6-0 fighters, Dean Sutherland and Keane McCann, seek the welterweight crown. And 7-0 Billy Stewart and 3-2 Dylan McDonough fight for the super bantamweight crown. On to the Far East in Tokyo, Japan, where Masaru Shiroshi, 18-1-1, and Ken Osato meet for the Japanese super featherweight belt. A young South Korea highlights the Sukiwan Hu versus Dong Hyun Kim welterweight bout. Singapore caps the night with the Mirsha Hida, the sniper Rosley, 12-2, 9 KOs versus Benzema Fakra, 9-15, the female featherweight showcase. Metro Manila, Philippines has a big night of title fights. Talk with Alto Goyan, 10-2-1, crossing the ropes with Rio Sagawa, 6-1 for the WBC Asian Boxing Council silver super featherweight title. And Zun Blazo facing Benizer Alalad for the open WBC ABC silver bantamweight belt. Also, Roldan Aldea and Nathan Bolsio fight for the Philippines Game and Amusement Board lightweight crown. And it's Jared Chavez versus Gino Ardante for the PBAB super lightweight belt. And Lake Kalapiro in New Zealand will see 16-1 Cairo George battle James Torres for the vacant Pro Box New Zealand super welterweight belt. And in Auckland, the 12-1 Leti takes on Jordan Tai, 10-4, in the super middleweight finale. There we go, our trip around the world. 16 countries today, but a lot of action throughout Europe. We have 13 fights in France and 6 in Italy and a bunch in Germany and the UK. So not a bad weekend of fighting, but of course all eyes in Las Vegas for the big one tonight with Alvarez versus Jacobs.
Yeah, well, Bob, it is a big fight. Before we get into that, we'd like to Ray McCline, the president of Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame, our surprise guest for today. How you doing, Ray?
Hi, Ray.
Hello?
Hey, Ray. Hello, Ray. Hi. Hello.
Yeah, I guess we lost him. Yeah, he was there, but I guess we lost him. I guess he called back. Well, anyway.
Good surprise, at least.
Yeah, I've been losing a lot of stuff lately now. So it just fits right in the case. But yeah, Bob, it's a big fight out there, and as normal, there's always some controversy and something. You know, now, there's pictures taken where people get to see each fighter heads up and close up, and it looks by the pictures, or were the pictures distorted, or this is the real deal. We would have to look at the tell of the tape. But Jacobs looked quite bigger than Canelo Alvarez. And with that, saying that from those photos, Oscar De La Hoya, around about an hour or so ago, release a statement or something about, you know, they have an early morning weigh-in for the IBF, which is the 10-pound rule, meaning that with IBF title fights, you can't be over once you rehydrate up after the weigh-in. The next morning when you get back, you have to weigh in on the scale. You can't be 10 pounds over the weight. So Jacobs, he came in at 160, Canelo Alvarez 59. So we have to look and see, you know, the difference that makes in the fight. what I all the time say is that it's not the size that you win or you fail. It's the size of the fight that you have prepared for and the size of the fight that you got in your heart. So by saying that, is that this is a dynamite matchup where Canelo Alvarez is absolutely a star, no question about that. You know, when you get that kind of money, what was it, $380-some million, Bob, that he signed
for? 5 years, 8 fights,
yeah,
365, I think. But yeah, but still, yeah, this is what we're saying about this being the big event for the zone. This is their pony here. Yeah, this is the head honcho, the big horse, all that.
Yeah,
the bank is a lot on how many people are going to tune in on this one tonight. And it's a big fight. Jacobs is the real deal. He is the IBF champ, as you mentioned, you know. So it's a unification fight, too, WBC, WBA, and IBF.
Yeah, and with that is, you know, Jacobs camp is saying, well, in unification fights, the IBF have dropped that over the weight rule. And then Hearns comes out, well, said there was something in the contract when they signed it about, you know, the poundage rule. If you overweight so much weight, it's $100,000 per pound or whatever. That would be an interesting figure if it is, and it would be really something to look at if a guy got to pay that kind of money being overweight, you know. But in a big fight, there's always stuff. Everybody's pushing and pulling, trying to keep the mental and psychological edge. Each little thing from when they sign the contract and the negotiation to try to get the edge, win there, then you go win, you know, different little thing, battles that go on in a big fight. So the camps are always trying to outdo the other and win. So it won't affect the psyche where they're coming in the fight, where you have lost all the way down the line. And then when you climb in the ring, your fighter ends up losing because of the psychological end of it all. But this is a dynamite matchup. Now, whether Canelo Alvarez, is he going to come forward like he all the time does? And are them two going to bang it out in the middle of the ring? That's what I want to see. Who's going to try to make the adjustment in the fight? Jacobs at 160, he's been there, he's a big puncher. Canelo Alvarez is moving up into that weight. And Bob, we have to look at something when they talk about rehydration. You know, Canelo Alvarez, and not to knock him, but he did test positive for sports enhancement drugs, if you can remember.
Yeah, last summer, about a year ago, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at training, when a guy does that, that might be the case where they talk about the way his size looked. You know, them whatever he was taking, it makes you bulky, your muscle. It makes you look stronger and all that. Now, with his natural, his muscles don't look the same. It's because now when guys mess with those sports enhancement drugs, it damages muscle fiber now. So when you start to get back natural, the muscle don't look the same. And they don't look the same physically. Now, whether he has trained very hard to get that stuff out of his system, where his water cell and all that, his fast twitch fiber you hear me speak about, and slow twitch fiber, one for speed and the other one endurance. And if he trained real hard to get that cell used to holding that water to disperse for energy, you know, and so a lot of times people, the science says that mess with those sports enhancement drugs, what happened to them when they go back to naturally training, your body doesn't make the adjustment for some time, you know. So That's something to look at it in this fight. I want to see if that happens to Canelo Alvarez. Will he be the same fighter with that high energy, throwing combinations and, you know, slipping, sliding, banging, and with the same punching power? We talk about the psychological end of it. Does this play a psychological end on him? You know, not having that and looking in the mirror and see the change in your body.
Right.
So there's a lot going on in this fight, and let's see if he can overcome it. You know, and size-wise, if he's not against somebody like Jacobs, who's a puncher and who likes to bang himself, going down the straight, down the stretch in these tough rounds, that's when all of those kind of things matter. And will we see that tonight? Will Jacobs make him fight early, where he slows down and late, where he don't have the strength, and Jacobs takes advantage of that? And boy, you know, if he does, that's a big win for him. A big win.
Oh, it will be. Right. And yeah, well, moving on to the heavyweight too. We didn't get a chance to talk last week, but we do have an opponent for Anthony Joshua now. Andy Ruiz Jr., the Destroyer. He's 32-1, 21 KOs. He only lost to Joseph Parker, and he was just fighting just a couple of weeks ago, actually. On the 20th of April, he fought Dimitrenko. He won. But, we finally got an opponent coming in. And also, 2 weeks from now, we got to remember, too, we start, like, we're going every 2 weeks now. We have Alvarez tonight. 2 weeks from now, we'll have Wilder in Brazil. 2 weeks after that, will be Joshua and Ruiz. And then 2 weeks after that, we have Fury and Tom Schwartz. So we're going to be busy the next couple of weeks here, too, next month and a half, 2 months, with some big fights.
Yeah, big, huge fights. It's like we said, boxing's on the move, and to have those type of fights. And we're happy that Anthony Joshua, they found somebody for him to climb in there and fight and make it to the gate so he can go in this display his talent as a champion. But, you know, these are kind of things that go on in boxing from the past. You have to be very, very careful. You know, he's a little bit over under 4 weeks out, and you make an adjustment like that. Sometimes a guy is not ready on the adjustment. You know, they go in and, you know, some little excitement happens, and he has to dig down deep and show why he's a great fighter, looking at something what appears to be easy and a very simple fight, where to be a walk in the park becomes a heavyweight nightmare. And I hope that it don't come that for him, because everybody was biting at the bit to see that Miller and Joshua fight. After all that junkie talk, you know, but yeah,
oh,
all that junkie talk.
Three of them.
Yeah.
Just one or two. It's one about three. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, there's some discussion about him, the amount of time and all that he's going to lay off. Some people saying that the WBA and those organizations are a little lenient on him, or whatever. When you mess around like that, and there's a lot of money put up, and, you know, you heard a promotion like that, you know, on the things of marketing, you know, he's all on all these marketing materials to help drive the pay-per-view. And when something like that, you know, it's a different story. A guy get injured. You understand that. But when it's self-inflicted like that, what he did, boy, that's tough to take, you know. And, you know, for him, his promoter was just, when you invest money in guys to further their career and you get them there and you're just getting ready to bingo, turn the corner, you get them in the heavyweight championship fight, this happens. It's a sad day. And this is after a great promotion with the woman's fight.
Right,
you know.
Dimitri Salida,
yeah.
Pursuing the promotion.
Yeah, Dimitri, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
big setback, especially you said after that big women's fight last week, last month, in Atlantic City. But yeah, they were all focused on that. I was talking with Dimitri afterwards. That was a big thing. He's ready to go, and plans changed in a couple of days right after that, too. As a matter of fact.
But that's boxing, you know. The guys that were in the hunt, they were doing, they got a lot of play out of it. A lot of guys got some exposure with their names that wouldn't have got their names as they were looking for the opponents for Anthony Joshua. It may have threw some other names in the pool of the heavyweight division, but I didn't understand why he didn't fight White, you know.
Right.
In there, or Michael Hunter that he got. I didn't understand. They were throwing his name around, but nothing would come of it, you know.
Ortiz wanted more money. His name was out there, but when it came down to it, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. That's what happened with Ortiz.
Well, he already got a title shot, and he's getting greedy. Hey, look, when someone calls you up and say, like Muhammad Ali says, you're going to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. You push and tug as far as you can go, but he said you grab that pen quick, fast, in a hurry, because, you know, sometimes the opportunities don't come around like that, to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. And you got to seize the moment and seize the opportunity, you know. And I done seen guys take fights on the last minute like that, underpaid, undercut, and go in and knock a joker out cold and come home with the title. That's when you're hungry, Bob. That's when you're hungry. You know, I take a hungry fighter any time, is because it's the hunger, the starving for something, or, you know, he wants to prove himself. When a fighter's hungry, boy, oh, boy, you can work some magnificent things, man. It's easy motivation. It's easy to teach. It's easy to train when guys are like that, you know. But to turn down a heavyweight championship, I don't understand that thinking.
People wanted to see that fight, I think, too. That was a name that was recognizable, at least. You know, he had fought Wilder. You know, people watched that. And that same thing, he was beating Wilder until he got knocked out. But he talked about Wilder. That's how he fights. Same way with the Fury thing. He's losing, then he comes through and knocks you out at the end. But, yeah, that's coming up in a couple of weeks, Dominic Brazil. That's going to be out in Brooklyn, too. So Wilder getting back in action, too.
Yeah, Wilder has to watch, man. The name of the game is to go in and win round by round.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
you
he doesn't win the rounds. That's the thing,
Yeah, you can't give away rounds in a fight, because you dig a hole for yourself that you won't be able to get out of. And one night you go to pull that trigger with them big guns, that big punch, and it just don't happen. And you lose on a split decision or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's a dangerous game, you know, just relying solely on your punching power. You know, that ain't a good way to think, not on a higher echelon, you know, because somebody's going to get in there and you ain't going to be able to hit them with that big punch. And
it's going to go away one day. Yeah, you're exactly
right.
And
it almost happened with Tyson Fury with that big punch. You know, he was going down the stretch. He was behind, and he catches him with a big shot. You know what I mean? It almost finished him, but he landed that big shot, and that's where, you know, it bring him even what I seen on the scorecards, you know.
Right, yeah.
But a lot of people thought that still with that, them knockdowns, he still lost because of the way he gave rounds away earlier, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he can't do that against Brazil. Brazil is a formidable opponent here. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. That's coming up in 2 weeks. And then we have Tyson Fury getting back at it in June, too, out in Las Vegas, making his showcase out there, and the MGM Grand taking on Tommy Schwartz from Germany. But we talked about here as he was coming up. I like this young fighter. He's getting a shot at doing something here too, and putting his name in the American mindset as far as the heavyweight. So big fight for Tommy Schwartz. Looking forward to that one too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what Fury does you know, that big fight like that. But Tyson Fury's always going to keep it interesting because he's a character. He's a character. You know, like over in England, he talks crap. He puts on the show. He comes out with his antics. You know, he's an antic guy, too. And you know what, Bob? I was talking to somebody yesterday. You know, we never found out what company or nonprofit he gave all that money to help the homeless.
No, we never did. I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, they never came up with the name or who he gave the money to. It was promoted very well that he gave some money, millions.
Yeah.
But they didn't ever say what company it was. That would be interesting to find out.
Right.
You know?
People get to that, yeah. How about that, yeah. What company that was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bob, there were some numbers and stuff like that. You know, the zone, you know, even with this fight tonight, you know, they don't come out with the numbers after, you know, they're streaming, but they never say what the viewership numbers or nothing.
Oh, no, they didn't say like their percentages even, too. Okay, so there's X amount of people that sign up for the zone, you know, and then you have the amount of people that are watching the fight. So they're not giving us any of the numbers. They're not even telling us. I think they might have made a statement about hitting 1 million actual subscribers now. That's just the base price. You know, and all that, but I don't know. So I'll be curious to see. But this is, like you said, a lot of money on this one fight. This is one of the $365 million guy, Canelo, going at it. And, you know, you got a couple big fights on ESPN that you're going to be battling against, too. Two IBF world title fights. You know, it's going to be a crowded viewing area to see which ones they're going to turn on, you know, too. Because it's not just Canelo going by himself and there's nothing else happening. You know, on Caius, he's a big winner here. Out of the Philippines, fighting the Japanese fighter. Then Viterbia, man, he's a great light heavyweight. 13-0, all knockouts. You know, and this Kalajic, 24-1, 17 KOs. So those two big fights on ESPN are going to challenge the viewership for Canelo, you know, too. You know, some of those underfights as well. The undercards,
You got Bob Burnham. Bob Burnham, he's biting at the bit with those fights constantly on ESPN, you know, and then you have Hearns and De La Hoya with on the streaming stuff with the big fight tonight. Who's going to win out in the ratings war in the viewership war with the
ESPN. This is just ESPN too, the regular TV too. So you don't have to do anything special by signing up. You just have to have your own cable system going, you know. And so it's easier to watch that fight. Like I said, it's going to be a big event now to see how much, especially the U.S. numbers too. You know, we're interested in that, you know, as far as so they're streaming this back to, I guess it's on Sky TV too, which Eddie Hearns is involved in, but. But as far as we'd just like to see what kind of numbers you have going straight up against ESPN here tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, ESPN, they're going on their regular network, which, you know, is way over 35 million viewers that they have ESPN on a constant basis, what is a fantastic number of anything. So, we'll see. You know, boxing normally does in between a 3 and a 1, meaning 1% or 3% viewership of the total numbers of your total prescribers or viewers. Let's see if they do a million views or 2 million, 3 million views. If they do them kind of numbers, them upper numbers, that means they're a hit. You know what I mean? If they can do it two or three times, that means this guy is a hit. And you can take somebody that has those high numbers, you can take them to the pay TV, pay-per-view.
Right, this is this Ankai's fight with ESPN. This is a super flyweight title fight, too. And as I mentioned when we were talking about it, we got a new WBC champion with Estrada, you know, that great fight a couple weeks ago now against Rumsfeldai from Thailand. Speaking of big numbers, he's our 58.8 share guy, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they're building that up, too. So you can see it on Kai's fight down the road, maybe taking on one of these guys. And like I said, I think they'll have the third fight between Estrada and Rumsfeldai, too. So, you know, they do that super fight stuff out there in California. That was going on last week while you were out there in Carson. And it's going to be that's what people are tuning in to see, maybe on this ESPN thing. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll have their numbers. We'll be able to get theirs. Well, whether the Zone says anything, you know, they should actually. You should just tell you something about how many people are viewing this fight, you know. This is this is a big baby here,
Yeah. And you know, Crawford, who fought Khan a few weeks ago, you know, how that fight ended, you know, in major, a lot of people were saying that Khan quit. You know, I think it's unfair to him to say that when his trainer makes a call like that is the right thing to say or do. You know, the trainer's in the gym with them all the time, you know, and he knows them, he's training them, you know, he knows when he has enough. And he don't have enough. And plus, you have to look at the way Khan been knocked out in the past. He been knocked out brutally. So it's better one punch too soon than one punch too late. And, you know, a lot of them guys are saying, well, he'd rather go out on his back. But it takes good trainers to say, hey, look, my guy had enough tonight. It's not his night. That's it. I'm stopping the fight. He's had enough, you know what I mean? So in communicating to him, you know, I was, we talked about Richard Hall when he fought Roy Jones, you know, Richard was sick before the fight and he wanted to fight anyway.
Right.
He said, because it's only the opportunity of my life. I might never get this chance to fight a title. It's I've been dreaming to fight for the championship while I was a kid. And let me tell you, Roy Jones was getting off on him. And, you know, me and Richard had sat down and talked before the fight. And he told me, he said, let him carry me out on the stretcher. He said, but he ain't carrying me out on the stretcher. I'm going to keep fighting and fighting until I find a way. And that he did. He said, if you fight, stop the fight, I'm going to kill you. And that should make it out. And he said, I kill you, man. You stop the fight. But, you know, and for Khan, you know, he's been knocked out pretty brutal a couple of times. So he was getting shellacked, you know, he was getting beat up pretty well. So for the call that his team made, it was the right call. One punch.
What do you think that puts Crawford now? Yeah. I mean, we always talk about him trying to get that extra recognition. You know, well, where does he go from here now? Yeah.
Yeah, Crawford handled his business.
Yeah.
He's one of the pound for pound best in the game. To take somebody like Khan and knock him out. He was supposed to knock him out, and he did. He lived up to the expectations. He was supposed to knock him out and stop him, and he did. So what Crawford needs, he needs the guys with the big names. If he can get the guy in there with the big names, but the problem with that is Bob Arum in that weight class, he don't have the other guys with the big name. Don't forget, Manny Pacquiao would be excellent for him, but Manny Pacquiao left Top Rank, you know?
Yes, uh-huh.
So now it comes back where the other two guys, Spencer and them, they with the other promoter, you know. So, So it leaves Crawford in an awkward situation. But he needs to fight the guys with the big names so he can have the opportunity to be recognized, number one, as fighting the best, and also live up to the rep that he fought the best. He went in there with the best and won against the best of them to show why he's pound for pound the best fighter in the world, you know. And
he's 35-0 now, 26 knockouts. You know, those are pretty good record there.
Absolutely.
We'll see where he goes next.
Yeah, we got to see, Bob. We got to see. We're trying to go in the promotion, but with some other fights that are planned, you know, that kid Horn.
Horn.
Yeah, maybe they can filter him back around the block, you know, and give him a rematch or something like that, or have Horn fight Spencer, you know, so mix it up a little bit. And then bring Spencer.
He's tossing all those different names. Yeah, those guys, like they're called around Robin tournament almost, just to get all those guys up against each other.
Create some kind of tournament.
Sean Porter's in there, and then Thurman, Garcia.
Yeah.
Pacquiao, there's a lot of names out there. Yeah.
But the big name, can any of them make sense to get Mayweather back in there?
Right.
You know? Crawford, that would be an excellent fight for him, Mayweather, but Mayweather ain't climbing in here with that dude. He's with the wrong guy.
No, he's teamed up, what we said a couple weeks ago, right? He teamed up with LeBron James, and I think they have some kind of like sports thing going, a fantasy thing or whatever it is. Yeah, well, he's moved on. Yeah, he's taking $80 million to do 2-round exhibitions, you know?
Yeah.
I guess 19-year-old Japanese kickboxers.
Floyd has found the money man. The money
exactly.
man, baby. You know, they can't knock him off his throne. Many have tried, but many have failed. You know, when it comes to that big time money, baby, he's the sale, baby. He knows how to. They can say what they want. They want about Floyd. He knows how to rise them numbers on that pay-per-view, and he knows how to tune in. He promotes himself very well. He talks very well. He talks the fight. He talks the game. He know the antics, you know, to get people to watch. And you know, with all that money talk, he's the man.
Has been for a while. It will be. Yeah, as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, he's still the money man.
So
I don't know if he's ever going to step back in. I'm not sure about that, but I don't know even where Pacquiao's going next, let alone Mayweather, you know, too.
Yeah, it's just hard to say. Look, anytime you have you can fight some karate guy and get that kind of money, shoot, he might as well go for a wrestling guy now. Floyd Mayweather to call Vince McMahon with the WWE and take on one of them jokers. He'll sell a place out.
Absolutely.
I think he should, Bob.
Yeah.
He done tried the MMA.
Yeah.
He tried kickboxing. set records in sales. Now he needs to go to another pay-per-view king, big-time wrestling. Take on one of those big heavyweights, man. I like to see Floyd with the money coming into the ring, throwing the money up in the air, bloom, bloom, money man, you know what I mean? And then go flying off one of those ropes, you know what I mean?
Jumping off the top of the rope. Grabbing a chair.
Yeah, grabbing a chair, antics. His guy with a chair, you know, his old man gets involved. They knock him out. His old man gets knocked out. One of the big guys, he goes out to knock him out. Out on the canvas he goes. You know, the whole Mayweather gym comes in the ring, starts handling the wrestling. Oh, man. It would sell, man. It would sell, Bob. I think people would enjoy it.
Oh, I haven't yet.
Why not? Go for wrestling.
Just keep going. Keep thinking I'll be talented.
Why not? The sky's the limit, man. You're the pay-per-view king, man. Show them that you can do wrestling and break the pay-per-view record there, too.
Put it on one of those big, the challenge matches, the big events that they have of WWE, where they do some big events, right there,
Tyson did it. Muhammad Ali did it. Why not you, Floyd? Go for it, baby. You heard it on the World Boxing Review. When you make all the money, let give Bob $1 million, give me $2 million, and give the rest of us $1 million. You're the money man, baby.
I heard that.
The money man too. Don't talk to Floyd Mayweather unless you talk millions, baby. That's the way it is. You don't deal with no chump change, baby. That's the money man, baby. That's why they can't get him in the ring, Bob. That's why they cannot get Floyd in the ring. Because when they start talking to him about fighting somebody, they all the time talk this chump change to him. And he ain't about no chump change. It may mean millions to you, but to him, those little millions are chump change to the money, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You gotta talk $100 million, $200 million, $300 million. Then you spark his interest, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You spark his interest. And let me tell you, he go over to wrestling, he'll do those $300-400 million things, man, once they get done promoting it. Who is the wrestling heavyweight champion anyway now?
I'm not even sure. That's the truth.
You put him in the ring. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's do this.
Wow. Yeah, that would be wild. But we'll see what happens. Yeah. Anyway, I think he's far away from getting back in the boxing ring right now, I think. But who knows? You never know. Like you said, money's right. You'll go in there and fight anybody.
Hey,
Coletta Shields is out there. She wants to fight somebody. She's gonna fight anybody. She can get her hands up.
but she ain't gonna want to fight the money man.
No.
That'd be total disaster. You know,
he could beat up Thurman, though. He was going out there one time. Thurman saying he could take him.
Don't mess with the money, man. You look at all them champions he done beat. The list is long, fine, but distinguished. And you'll just be another one on that long list of champions. They got to give it to the money, man. You know, like him, hate him, he's just simply good. He's a great fighter, you know.
Look, his name's still out there. We're still talking about him. What has he done? But he's still there. We know his name's out there, and he's always under the surface saying what he's going to do next. And he's always good for some news when it comes down to it.
He's always coming up with semantics of what he's going to do. You know what I mean? He's always saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That keeps him in the news, you know? He's promoting pretty good, you know, with the guys that he has. You know, they're doing shows out there in Vegas. You know, he's keeping it moving. It's something to do.
Yeah, you know, because of course, as we go around the world every couple of weeks, we hit on that academy that he has over in Russia. He puts shows on there, and of course, we know he does a lot of action out there in the Far East, Japan, and the Philippines, and Indonesia. Places like that. He's definitely an international ambassador for the sport too. I mean, he's the money man going wherever, you know, as you know, he's all over the world. It's not just the U.S. kind of guy. You know, he's got the academy in Russia and fighters all over. So, coming up underneath him actually too.
It's just rough nowadays to make a mega star like that. You know, you got to have a total package. Some guys can fight, can't talk. Some guys can talk, can't fight. You know, when you got a total package, and the fighter understands the bigger picture, what it takes on the higher end to draw people and to draw attention, you know, that's when you got something, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that wrestling thing's right up his alley. You know,
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. But I believe
they just
didn't
get enough money yet. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't pay us our money, Bob, yet. That's what the problem is. If they paid us our money, you know, bang.
It'll be done.
What happened? Yeah. It was done. It was done. Yeah, but you know, Bob, let's get back to the night's fight. Yeah, I think this is a dynamite matchup for Canelo Alvarez and Jacobs. I think it's going to be who wants it.
Right, we can't forget Triple G still out there too. You know, I mean, it's all with the match of boxing and everything else. Whether they're going to be able to get another fight in, but I'm sure Triple G is interested in seeing what happens tonight as well, too.
Yeah. Triple G separated from his longtime trainer, Abel Sanchez, who was out there being inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame. Congratulations,
right,
Abel.
There you go.
It couldn't happen to a better guy. Abel's a classy guy, definitely a good trainer. And, you know why I depart, Bob? It's because he no longer wanted to pay him his money. I don't understand that with guys.
Okay.
You only get what you pay for, you know. And when you don't want to give guys what they rightfully deserve as being a good trainer, you know, we know what you plan on doing. You plan on losing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Go ahead. Yeah, continue.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to look for a line back there, and I don't have it in front of me, but when we were down there at Atlantic City a couple weeks ago for the fight with Shields and Hammer, I'm just trying to find her trainer's name. He's
John
an old
David
classic
Jackson.
Name. Yeah, John David Jackson. Yeah, and he said the classic line at the end there. He said, "When the fighter listens to their trainer, they win." That's as simple as it gets.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a great talking to him too, because well, speaking of great trainers, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
he's a good trainer. He was a good fighter too, good middleweight.
Right.
Yeah, I trained him for a while.
Oh, good. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, John David
Jackson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a good job with Shields too. I tell you, he had her definitely ready to fight that fight. So, yeah, I was impressed with him too. So it was fun. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to going back. I guess Ray never did call us back, but we'll be talking to him probably soon, one of these days.
We'll have him on. He tapped in and everything. So I thought he was going to be surprised and come on the show, but I guess he hung up. Maybe he wasn't planning on Dollar.
Just a chat. But anyway, we'll look forward to talking to him. And again, the Atlantic City thing coming up in another month or a month and a half or so for ourselves, too. Looking forward to going down there. It's becoming our second home of broadcasting live on Atlantic City all the time. Let's keep that up.
Our boxing historian, Henry Hascop, is going in again, Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations,
Henry. Congratulations
for all that he does.
Yeah.
He deserves that much more than all the stuff that he does, man. With all those different rings that raise money, with him being the president of the New Jersey State Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, it's really, really good. You know. But we got less than 60 seconds, but Bob, you want to close up here?
Yeah, we'll just look forward to seeing what happens tonight with Alvarez and Jacobs, and see who wins the TV battle, see how many people watch ESPN with their two world title fights, too. I've got a couple good ones there, so I'll be curious to see how many people are even flicking back and forth that could be a lot going on with that too. But numbers will tell the story. If we ever find out what the zone does, we'll be happy.
I gotta talk to her and say, man, give us some hard numbers. Give us something to talk about, man. But, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions and our radio aficionado who took us on a magic carpet ride today to 16 countries around the world, Bob Murray. Tune in next Saturday from 11 to 12 every Saturday, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/theworldboxingreview to listen to us live. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you again. Talk to you soon. Bye.